Hey everybody, just want to give a quick intro to this episode of the podcast. Lee Nalen had a scheduling conflict, so he was not able to join us today, Friday, but Clint and I were still able to record an episode on Thursday that we're going to release for you today that we go over the Oklahoma State game, we preview Louisiana Tech, we talk some hoops. Just not able to get Lee Nalen today. He's aiming to come on Monday, so Monday we'll probably give you an episode where we interview Lee Nalen, kind of talk about Desmond Baines going into the NBA, going into his first training camp, stuff like that. Also, he's got a basketball camp coming up he wants to promote, so give him a follow on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter and hear that on Monday. And then later in the week on Wednesday or Thursday, we'll give you a signing day spectacular, as we're known to do. But yeah, sit back, enjoy the rest of this episode, that is, and then we'll talk to you a lot here in the coming days. So enjoy this one, and we'll talk to y'all soon.
If you could only see the dance breaks that occur.
This is what we do, is just break dance, and the dance breaks. Because this is a very great music video. If you haven't seen Big Boy's Shutterbug on YouTube, a lot of dancing in that video. Mm-hmm. A lot of dancing you might want to check out. If you're into dancing. If you're not into dancing, then check out anyway, because it's a good song.
Go watch Footloose.
So yeah, or if you can't dance, or if your friends don't dance, then they don't dance.
They're no friends of mine.
Something like that. Welcome back. Clint Foster, Billy Wessels, Toad Talk. Here we go. You thought we were done. We thought we were done with the season. One more game in here, Louisiana Tech. We'll react a little bit to Oklahoma State last weekend, because we still got to kind of reflect on that a little bit. Still trying to figure out how we won that game 4 days later. We'll talk about Louisiana Tech this weekend. We'll talk about basketball. And then we'll talk more basketball. You and I are recording this on Thursday.
Yes.
I have an interview with a former basketball. Can you say legend?
Oh, yeah.
Legend set for tomorrow afternoon.
Friend of the podcast.
And that'll be tacked on at the end of this podcast. But if you're listening to this, it's already in there. You know the drill. You're gonna hear me talking to Lee Nalen, hopefully, about Desmond Baines' intro to the NBA and all that stuff tomorrow, which will be happening in about an hour in your time, because we're recording this now. I don't know how time travel works.
Hey, you know, it's all in four dimensions. You know, it's a construct of the mind. But Merry Christmas to us.
Merry Christmas
to us. A lot
of good
things to talk about.
Yes, we've opened a couple of beverages of holiday cheer.
Yes.
Local brand Shiner.
Spitzel.
Yeah, I guess we call it a local. Yeah, it's an Austin. It's Austin-ish. So we both chug at the same time.
Yes.
Not good for podcasting.
But, you know, you're just drawn to that peach and pecan that is brewed with the with the Shiner. Very good.
And we'll have some more ties to the beverage of choice in a second. But first, I mean, how do you think they won the game with Oklahoma State?
The defense, man.
Yeah,
that's how you won.
That's all it was,
the
really.
The defense was phenomenal. I mean, and we've seen, this is the defense that we expected going into the season, where we were like, hey, this could be one of the best defenses, you know, that we've had.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say that, I still don't think it's elevated itself to that point, but that was a phenomenal performance. That fourth quarter alone was incredible. You continue to have your back against the wall, continue to just stop them. I mean, I know you were going to ask the question of, when did you think we were going to win that game? I didn't think we were going to win that game until the last second dropped off the clock.
Well, I thought for sure they'd review the Hail Mary attempt a couple times.
Yes.
Just because, the refs were weird. I know we talked about this. I talked about this on another show or podcast earlier this week. Yeah, not sure how they won. Teams that have a -4 turnover margin lose 90.5% of the time going back to 2000.
Because of course they do.
As they should.
What? I mean, I said it in my video. Like, how do you have 5 turnovers and win a game? Yeah. Like, that's insane.
It doesn't happen. And that number is
especially good. When one of them is a scoop and score.
Yeah, which shouldn't have been.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been. Yeah, that's
and
a whole other
they
thing.
Still reviewed it and got it wrong. But yeah. Big 12 refs were up bright and early on Saturday. And so was TCU's defense, and so was Trayvon Merrick, who had a phenomenal game. Makes me nervous, though. I think with that performance, and he'll have a chance to show out again one more time with Louisiana Tech.
Probably in the bowl game.
If he wants to play the bowl game, if he doesn't make a decision between then and the bowl game, we'll see how that goes. But I think the way he's playing lately, I think he's gone.
Yeah, I'm going into this game, I was thinking, we might just have him. We might just have him for next season. But that was a pretty tremendous last Big 12 game. Not even his last game at home.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It remains to be seen.
We don't know. I mean, we don't know. And he hasn't said anything yet. We don't know officially on
Corey Bethel. We don't know officially on Garrett Walla, but Walla's hinted at that was the plan all along. He was going pro with all this stuff going on. So.
Well, all the senior day stuff that he's done.
Yeah. And you were befuddled and depressed about Pro Wells going.
Yes,
not official.
Well, yeah, but what I was confused about, and I tweeted about this, is that he was on the senior day, the thank you seniors graphic that they tweeted, and I was like, wait, hold on a second. Hold on just a second. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure he's not a senior. I go and I look it up. He is a junior, but you said he is a senior in school, so therefore.
I mean, he played somewhere else before here. He's a transfer.
That's true.
Yeah, so he had a year of junior college here, played 3 years here. And, yeah, he's gone. Artavius Lynn gone. So, and Wells has the pro physicality. So yeah. he has the
pro name.
The measurables and literally the pro name. So, yeah. I do believe he goes. I believe Bethley comes back, which would be really good for the defensive line.
Yes.
Because that defensive line has come a long way. Same for the offensive line, too. But the lines in the last 4 weeks have been ridiculous.
They really have. And the offensive line deserves a lot of praise. We have ragged on them, as has everyone else this season, and rightfully so. But man alive, have they ever come to life here in these last couple weeks, and with so many changes to the lineup. And, you know, I mean, hey, Jeremy Clark wrote an article about it. Give credit where credit's due. Yeah. I mean, I don't care whose feathers this ruffles. Jared Anderson deserves credit for the job he has done.
He's turned the ship around. He revived. He glued the Titanic back together.
Yeah.
Basically, that's become this offensive line, and it's thanks to guys like Blake Hickey. And GP gave him a shout out because if it weren't for guys like Blake Hickey, TC wouldn't be where it is today. Because it seems like every year or so, it's a guy like him who's a senior, doesn't really do much until towards the end of his career, and then steps up and plays in a major way.
Yep.
So I think Grayson Muehlstein's another guy like that who was relatively inconspicuous the first 3.5 years of his career and then steps up at the end.
Well, and we got a pretty good history with walk-ons, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty strong.
So
the Bart Johnsons, the Josh Doxons, you know. There's a lot of really good walk-ons in the Coach P era. Add Blake Hickey to that list.
Yeah, add him to the list there. Is, like we said, TCU pulled out the win into Oklahoma State. And then we have a nice digestif of a football game here this weekend.
So French of you.
Oui, oui. It's my Creole native. It's my Louisiana brethren.
Louisiana Tech.
We open these. What did you say? Louisiana? Oh, Tech.
Tech.
I did not think you said Tech.
With a French accent, you know. It's so outrageous.
Sounds like you said something else. So we open our Shiner Holiday Cheer. To open these beverages, we used a keychain beer bottle opener that I have from the Keg Packers Liquor Store, which used to be in Ruston, Louisiana, which is where I was born.
Used to be.
They've since sold it. That's how.
R.I.P.
Well, yeah, it doesn't exist anymore. Part of the reason I am no longer in college debt. So thank you, my grandparents. So they made a good run out of all this. Shout out Ruston, Louisiana again, where I was born. Chris Gardner's birthday was yesterday, where he was born. Again, I put up the fun fact. I've said it before.
Yes.
I think it's fun every year. It reminds me to text my sister because he and my sister were born on the same day in the same hospital in Lincoln General Hospital in Lincoln Parish, Ruston, Louisiana.
It's funny it didn't work the other way, that you don't know your sister's birthday and you text her anyway.
Chris Gardner's way funnier.
Yeah.
He's way more important in my life than my sister is.
Ouch. Shots fired.
But shout out to all the birthday people from this week, because it's a big birthday week in my family as well. And do you have a month that's like always big in your family for birthdays?
For birthdays,
it seems like a big clump.
Well, December's the big month for me personally, because it's my anniversary, my birthday, and Christmas in that order.
Yeah. When's your birthday?
Was it 21st, also? December 21st. Okay. I feel like my family's birthdays are pretty spread out. January was both my late father-in-law's birthday was in January and my mom's birthday, but obviously he's passed now. So yeah, I feel like they're all real spread out now.
This month we have my sister, my dad, my grandpa was birthday, my aunt was this month. I think there's a couple others I'm forgetting.
Oh, no, you know what? This is very stupid of me. It's August, because my wife, my grandma, and my aunt are all like the same week in August.
Yeah.
So yeah, we always do like a big...
There you go.
Joint birthday
there's always,
party.
There's always, it seems to be every family has like that stretch where it's all combined. So.
Jeez, why did it take me that long to think of August?
I don't know how you can forget August. But yes, we're playing Louisiana Tech. A lot of ties for me and my family. I think I've got somewhere between 8 and 10 family members with Louisiana Tech degrees, including my parents. So it's always fun to me when we get to play them, which isn't very often. But whenever they come up, I always have this tie, this familial tie to the Bulldogs. So.
Well, it's got a lot of fun personal significance for you, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But I've gotten more and more excited about this game as it's approached, because this year specifically, it seems like there's so many cool connections and ties between TCU and La Tech. Almost like it's a fun little, you know, not hate-infilled, but just a fun little high school type rivalry.
Yeah,
you know? It's like, hey, let's bring these guys from the next state over. We got a lot of ties with, you know, and let's play a football game.
Yeah, and that's what you'll see. Again, I wrote the thing, and Garrett Wallace spoke to us on Tuesday about it, all the media people about it, was running back Israel Tucker for Louisiana Tech. They were on the same track and field team when they were kids down near New Orleans, and they went to rival high schools, ended up going to rival high schools and played against each other. And Tucker's coming off his best game of his career with 161 yards against UNT.
Yeah, there you go. So, because what's the kid's name? Is it Henderson? Who was the running back going into the season? I think he opted out.
I think so.
But yeah, Israel Tucker has done a very, very fine job.
He's come on strong. So hopefully we don't have to see them in a foot race, because I feel like Walla would lose that. But I feel like that's...
Let's see him run into each other a few times.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see Walla definitely tackle his old buddy. I probably between 3 and 17 times on Saturday if I had to.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think Walla normally gets between 11 and 15 tackles his actual last game in the Carter this time.
Yes.
Against an offense that they do throw it a little more than they run it, but they're running it more of late. So
a lot of screen passes on this offense.
A lot of screen passes.
Someone described it as death by a thousand paper cuts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they cut the heck out of UNT last week. So exciting game for everyone involved. Again, Isaiah Graham started his career at TCU. He's finishing there at Louisiana Tech.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 3 touchdowns on the year. He's not necessarily their biggest threat, but he's a solid player. Again, TCU fans know what he can do.
Yeah.
So, and then another connection here that popped in my head was Smoke Harris and Darius Davis were on the same high school team.
Mm.
So, at St. Feliciana. So, and Smoke Harris has 30 catches this year for 263 and four touchdowns. Davis has come on really strong lately. So, he's becoming the kind of the I don't know, I don't say number two, but kind of the co number two with like him, Barber, Conright, behind Quentin Johnson as the true number one.
Yeah.
So, it's this. This offense is starting to come around. Tech has a great offense. It feels very Texas Techy.
Yes,
looking at them and their roster. So it should be a really fun game.
It should be, yeah. And you know, just from a aerial view perspective, you know, the last decade, TCU has devoted so much into building up that Louisiana pipeline. Mm-hmm. We've got so many great players that have come from Louisiana, and obviously, we've just talked about a few of them on this team. So to play a team from Louisiana that is, you know, one that a lot of these kids grew up around, that's a fun added layer to all of this.
Yeah, and then look at kind of the breakout stars on this year's team for TCU. Kari Coleman, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Mentioned Darius Davis.
Louisiana.
CJ Caesar.
Louisiana.
And then kind of coming on strong of late, Earl Barquette and Patrick Jenkins on the defensive line.
Yes, yes.
Louisiana kids. So look at some of the senior leaders. Kelton Hollins, Artavius Lynn. Louisiana kids.
Mm-hmm.
Bud Clark, true freshman, who played against Kansas, played in that game. We 4-star coming out of high school.
Yeah. Boot boy.
Expect to have a nice future. And then Ardarius Washington from Shreveport as well, which is an hour away from Ruston. So
yes.
He's got to know some guys in that team. It's a very fun rivalry. It's not like it's full of hate and animosity. It should be a good time.
Well, it's only the second time we've ever played them.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't really call it a rivalry, but it's going to be fun just from the sheer proximity aspect of it. And, you know, you made the comparison to Texas Tech. I think that's actually a really, really good comparison. Because, like we mentioned, they have an offense that likes to pass the ball, that likes to spread things out. Defense, not so great.
Yeah, not good. I mean, they're led by a true freshman linebacker in Tyler Grubbs out of New Orleans. He has 78 tackles on the year, and that's a dozen more than their senior linebacker, Trey Baldwin. So Grubbs is kind of the name to watch. And also just fun to say. He's also got a forced fumble in the year. Baldwin has an INT and a sack as well for that defense. So the defense is hit or miss, but when you're led by a true freshman, that's probably not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's we're expecting, I think, a fair amount of points. I mean, Tech is allowing 32 per game and 4.2 yards per carry to running backs. So it just could be a big Zach Evans, could be a big Darwin Barlow day if they can hang on to the football.
Yes, yeah, that's the key. Hopefully ball security was a focus in this last week of practice. But yeah, you know, an interesting matchup to watch, I think. on a macro level, yes, our offense is arrow is pointing up, but on the year, we've not done very well on third down. We're like ranked somewhere in the 90s on mm-hmm. third down conversion rate. Their defense, somewhere in the 90s on third downs allowed. So look out for the extremely movable object versus the unmotivated force in this game.
Yep. It should be third downs will be key. They're key in most games, but especially in this one where teams we don't know what we're doing.
It'll be key in how uncomfortable this game is and how close this game is.
And I think this game will start rather uncomfortable. We'll get to the pick in a second. But looking at their quarterback situation, Luke Anthony, their seniors, play the majority of the season. And then Aaron Allen's a sophomore, I believe. They're both completing between 62 and 68% of their passes. So, but Anthony is 15-5 touchdown to pick ratio. Allen is 4-3. So
yeah.
It seems to be the younger guy is more mistake prone, no duh. Mm-hmm. But Luke Anthony is no slouch either. So look for their quarterback play to be good as we expect from an offense that's fun to watch.
Hey,
so.
I'll tell you what. TCU fans know over the last few years, having two very competent quarterbacks is a luxury and something that we would have loved to have had for a few years. Not, you know, and that's not knocking anybody. That's just, you know, you've got two starter quality quarterbacks, and that's not something that we've necessarily had. We haven't had two starter quality quarterbacks in, geez, I don't know, a long, long time.
Dalton and Paha?
Because Paha, he wasn't even starter ready when Andy was still there. So, yeah, I'd say probably 2012. Yeah. Boykin and Paha. And even then, Boykin, Trey was very much an unfinished product.
Yeah, he was also working with a running back. He was a running back. Receivers and safeties and whatever else.
Yes.
So, yeah. Would you, your new BFF, Brandon Hassel and Ty Gunn, maybe that?
That definitely counts.
When they were both kind of alternating. So, yeah, it'll be a fun game. I'm very excited. My family's very excited. And TCU fans should be excited. You get one more game in the Carter. 6 p.m. start on Saturday. Wearing the blackout uniform. So
yes,
it should be a good time for all involved. So.
And should be decent weather.
Yeah.
Which at first it didn't look like it was.
It looked like it was going to be the high of like 40 and raining after how beautiful this whole week's been. It's like 77 degrees outside and beautifully sunny.
Yes.
Because it's December 10th in Texas. Did you see...
With a happy little lizard on your window. How warm it is.
He's sunbathing. Did you see Desmond Bain talking about the weather in Memphis today?
No, I didn't.
Talking about how it's like 80 and he's got the windows down or whatever. They're like, yeah. Well, and the Grizzlies replied to him saying, welcome to Memphis. I'm like, Bain, you've lived here for 4 years.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be too much of a shock for
you. You're going to see more snow up there than you did down here. I will tell you that.
Excited to see him. His season going underway. It's 12 days from now. Their season gets going.
I know, man. That's crazy.
And again, tune in probably in about... just don't change anything. Hopefully you're hearing Lynn Allen talk about Desmond Bain here in a little bit. So
don't change that dial on your smartphone.
Yeah.
If you have a dial on there.
Don't mess around with this. Just keep tuned in. All right, game prediction time. I should go back and look at how we're doing at all these. I don't know. I haven't... Normally I keep a running tab. It's been iffy.
Oh yeah, I don't even know. I've been keeping track of the bold predictions. I haven't been keeping track of.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like my score was closer for last week, but I don't even remember who my player of the game pick was.
Let's see. You picked TCU to win 27-26. You had Zach Evans with 116 and a touchdown. He had a touchdown.
Okay. Yeah.
I had TCU winning 32-28 with a pick six by Wallow. So that was very wishful thinking on my thought, but. You ready to make a pick? You want me to make a pick?
I am, yes. I'm ready to make a pick. I'm going to say that, yes, like you say, it starts out very kind of exchanging shots, exchanging jabs, but I think Frogs pull away in the end. I think you're looking at like a 35-20 victory for the Frogs. And you got to give the player of the game to a boot boy, right? Some Louisiana kid has to be the one who steps up. Let's give it to Darius Davis.
Okay.
I'm going to say that Darius Davis gets himself a punt return touchdown and a receiving touchdown.
Ooh.
Has himself a day. And Frogs get out of the season with a 6-4 record.
Yeah. Again, I don't get how people would be upset about this.
How could you? You can't.
You started what, 1-3?
Yes.
And you finished 6-4. It's hard to complain about this. And the arrow's pointing straight up.
2021.
2021. I am going to. So I had a dream the other day. You know me. I have very vivid dreams. I've been thinking about this game a lot lately. I had a dream. TC was losing 21-7 in the first quarter.
Yeesh.
Yeah. So I don't know what goes on with this. That's just kind of what I fell into my dream as it was boom 21-7 pretty much off the bat.
Yikes!
So it's explosive first quarter, but TCU comes back to win 28-24. That's my pick.
So I'm a little too close for comfort.
Yeah, I mean, also I got the ties and everything. I gotta keep my family not murdering me.
Yeah,
I too had written down Darius Davis as my player of the game.
Oh, okay,
with 125 receiving yards and two total touchdowns, implying one.
If you want to have Darius Davis, I will switch to Kari Coleman and make things.
Okay,
really
there you love your. You want to give a effervescent elephant or whatever.
My bespeckled goose insurance salesman.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know.
All right, give me.
I didn't have enough time.
their offensive line is super banged up. I think they're down a few guys on the O-line. So
yeah,
it should make a big game for him.
Yes, so let's have a Kari Coleman scoop and score.
Ooh.
And two sacks.
Two sacks. I like it.
Yes.
All right, so on to less fun news. Let's talk some basketball.
Yeah, man, that Providence game was... Well, you know, you saw some good things, but the turnovers, that was... Less than inspiring.
Yeah, it was really bad. I mean, to put it politely, the turnover game was bad. They turned the ball over 19 times, led to 26 Providence points. And you're playing without Farabella, who was a late scratch. And according to, it sounded like Dixon after the game was like, they didn't find out until yesterday afternoon that he wasn't going to be allowed to go. And the PJ Fuller was in a walking boot. No timetable for either of their returns. Again, hopefully at least one of them will be back for the 1 o'clock Saturday game against Texas A&M. But yeah, last night when it was down, it was basically Providence, who is not bad. Like they're usually a tournament-ish team, bubble team at worst.
But it's a team that's, you know, in your vicinity talent-wise. Yeah. So it's a game that you'd like to see yourself win, just like Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, dropping a game to Oklahoma and a game to Providence, suddenly you're like... I'm not feeling so good.
Yeah, here we go again. But yeah, again, Oklahoma and TCU, I think we're picked to finish like both in the bottom three. I think they'll both be better than Kansas State, who lost to at least a D2 school
that I've never heard of.
Yeah, never heard of them. So it's a rough look for K-State right now, the other purple team. But yeah, losing to Providence, when you get bullied on the boards, man, and Kevin Samuel, and I asked Dixon about it after the game last night, and I don't think I asked it well because... I got the "well, he's in foul trouble" answer, which he committed a foul early and then missed 7 minutes, and then got another foul pretty quick, and then he only played 7 minutes in the first half.
Yeah.
So, and then that point you're down and the rebounds are too much to overcome by that point, and they were just dominating in the paint, like they dunks on dunks on dunks last night. It was really disappointing to watch. It was the RJ and Mike Miles show. They combined to score the first 20 points for TCU, which is less than ideal. Nembhard has 25. Miles had 20. Nembhard with 25, 7, and 7. And again, Kevin Samuel, I think, is going to be the key to this team all year.
Because as he goes, the team goes.
As against Oklahoma, he went just 4-11. Like, it wasn't – like, last night he finished with 10-6, and 10-5 were in the second half. He needs to average 12-12 for TCU to be competing in the Big 12. I've been preaching that, and I think he's – he's not living up to the hype right now, which is a bummer. Of course, A&M is a big game. A&M's coming in undefeated, but they ain't played nobody, Paul. They haven't played anybody yet.
Yeah.
I think they played like Rio Grande Valley and UT Pan Am or whatever. So,
well, Oklahoma hadn't played anybody either.
Yeah.
Literally.
So, true. So, yeah, was that the literally?
No, it was their second game.
They played UTSA on Thursday.
Yeah.
And they put up like 120 points on them or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they lit up them. So, and then Austin Reeves had the big game with OU against TCU on Sunday. 32-6-9. Again, the kid who should have been called for a tech last year when he hit the buzzer beater to win the game when he did the throat slash. But it wasn't a football game, apparently, so that's
fine.
Yeah,
that's only called on Kenny Hill when it's not actually a throat slash.
Yeah, when it was a...
Not when Arkansas does it the next year. Not when Austin Reeves does it in basketball. Yeah.
So I said he's my second least favorite Big 12 player because the kid from Baylor, I can't think of his stupid name, but I just can't say
You know,
that.
Kid from Baylor, I'm convinced. That's all you need to tell me.
That's enough to say, right?
I'm convinced.
that's all I had to say about that one. It's Matthew Mayer. God, that kid just annoys me. Not a fan. So he'll put 40 up against TCU this year probably because he's a sharpshooter. But
fun.
Yeah, in that game we saw Miles had 21 again. RJ had 18. PJ Fuller had 15. So you lost the 15 points you kind of hoped to get from PJ Fuller with him not being able to play last night.
Yeah,
it was good to see Choco Bannon for a little bit because he was banged up after the Oklahoma game. He played some, not a whole lot, but it was Dixon called it a heroic effort for him to get out there. So he's apparently in a lot of pain going in. So, and that's where a guy like Eddie Lampion could have been very valuable. He didn't play at all. I think he's getting into shape. He's a big boy, man. He's a big boy, a lot of man.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of him, though. I mean, he's because he is a big boy.
Yeah,
like,
and that would have come in handy last night.
Baby Shaq or whatever.
Yeah.
Baby Shaq. Do.
Yeah, it would have been really nice to see him out there against Providence, but not ready to go yet. So, and of course, Dixon mentioned that he's missed, again, I don't know the stat. He wouldn't say the stat. His team's missed the most practice of anyone in D1 or whatever, something like that. So it sounds serious. It sounds severe. And if it doesn't get right right quickly, it could be a long season for the Frogs, who play Oklahoma State on Wednesday at 8 p.m. on the road. And that game's on ESPN2. And they have Cade Cunningham, who's a potential number one overall pick in the draft this year.
That's not an easy out.
No. And again, they were picked, I think, in the bottom half, but I think they are just Cade Cunningham. Mm-hmm. So can you contain him? Can you slow him down?
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Can you cut the Cade?
Cade Cuddy or whatever his name is. So, Kid Katie, whatever you want to do.
Mike Miles has been a massive bright spot. I mean, he is who we thought he was going to be. Yeah.
But Nimbard's take the next step.
And Nimbard has to, but it's like you expect that from Nimbard. Like with a freshman, senior. It's like, okay, we've heard all these things. Are they true? They're true. He's really good. But, I mean, we have already said it. As Kevin Samuel goes, the team goes. And he showed, I think, some flashes against Providence in the second half. We're like, like a couple of big dunks, a couple of guys finding him open there in the paint. But you can't win with flashes. Like, man, we need you to – I mean, how many times did we say this about Desmond Bane?
Yeah.
Like, we need you there, like, all 40 all minutes, time. You know? And that's how we're going to be a really successful team, you know? Just got to push for that NIT bid, I'm thinking, at this point.
it's a tough road to get there, though, because of the way that they're starting right now against some better competition. Not going to look good come Big 12 play when it gets going in earnest.
Yeah, that Providence get loss was really not ideal.
Yeah. So
you hope you can pull off an upset against A&M. That would be maybe cancel that out.
I don't know if it's even an upset. Like we don't know what A&M is. Like we don't really know what TCU is either. So it's just a go throw the basketball in the gym and see what happens out there. So the women got a win yesterday. They hadn't played in a while because of a couple cancellations. They beat Lamar 79-53. No surprise, it was the Yummy Morris show, which I would definitely watch the Yummy show.
I would so watch the Yummy Morris show.
So she had
Tuesdays at 7.
Right. On CBS, 20 points, 4 boards. Lauren Hurd again, 16 points, 10 rebounds. Michelle Berry had 10 more rebounds of her own. So they got a win, which is really good to see them get a win after having not played in a while. Their game before, I guess it only been a week, but they had a loss to Iowa State in the first Big 12 game. So they play here Sunday against Middle Tennessee State at 1 o'clock, and then Big 12 play again at Texas Tech at 2 p.m. on Saturday the 19th. So,
and that's when you feel like you can win.
Well, they split them last year against Tech, and they were the best team they've had in a long time. So and no gimme when you go to Lubbock. So we'll see how that goes. A little bit of baseball news. Did you see the baseball news?
Tell me the baseball news.
Came over
news,
the wire. Newest Texas Ranger, Jake Gunther.
I did not see that.
The Rangers and Rays made a trade.
Oh.
That sent Jake Gunther to back home to DFW.
Okay.
So, yeah, this afternoon. He had 345 with 10 homers and 42 RBIs for the Frogs in 2019.
I did not see that. I only saw the Lance Lynn trade. I didn't see the Jake Gunther trade.
Yeah, it was.
Right on.
It was. I didn't recognize any really other big names in that deal, but it was a swap of prospects. And Gunther comes in; he can bring that bat to a spacious new ballpark. So
we need help everywhere. So
the Rangers will take it, no matter what it is. The trade was Nate Lowe. I've heard of Nate Lowe. Nate Lowe and Jake Gunther, and a player to be named later, for Oselvis Basabe, Heriberto Hernandez, and Alexander Ovalles. I've heard of Heriberto, but. The other ones were all lost to me. So
excellent.
So good to get a Frog in some Rangers colors. I think Ryan Holiday played for a hot minute for the Rangers.
Well, and I can't think of the pitcher that we had for a season. Played for the Padres.
This is infuriating.
What am I doing?
One of the more successful TCU guys ever.
Yes. Cash.
Andrew Cashner.
Oh,
man. Hurt my brain a little bit.
Oh, my God. Okay. But yes, that was fun. I almost bought an Andrew Cashner shirt, and now I'm kind of glad that I didn't because he was here for like half a second.
Right? So
hopefully Jake Gunther sticks around and makes an impact.
Hopefully he makes it up there. So, ready for Twitter questions?
Let's do it.
Oh, all righty then.
I have not seen any of these.
Good. There's not a ton of them, but there's some. There's some. Drip King at D Duncan Soul. Rank TCU's top five offensive linemen, seniors not included. So that's your
on the current team?
On the current team, offensive linemen that are not seniors.
Okay. Seniors are Kelvin Hollins and Austin Myers?
Who even are seniors?
I guess TJ Stormont. Billy Jr.
You've got Coy McMillan. Stormont's gone. Steve Avila, who had a really nice game.
But I'm saying we have three seniors. Everybody else is
fair. Yeah, game, and I think Austin Myers might. I don't remember if he was on senior day or not. I think he might come back.
I was under the impression that he would come back too.
Yeah, so let's say you have Myers back. Coy McMillan, Steve Avila are on there.
I think Steve Avila is definitely toward the top. I think putting him at tackle.
Yeah.
I loved him at tackle.
Yeah, he looked good.
Yes.
John Lands, Altrick Barlow. I think Barlow's going to be good. I really do. He's still a true freshman.
He hadn't really gotten any playing time, though.
He's a true freshman.
Yeah.
He's 6'5", 353.
I think Wes Harris has to be near the top.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we haven't seen it yet.
Yes.
So, and he's a junior, so I'm not prepared to say he's up there. Austin Myers. Let's see. Michael Nichols is a freshman. Marcus Williams is a freshman. Chris Dykes a sophomore. Andrew Coker, I still believe, is going to be really good.
I think so, too.
Garrett Hayes is going to be really good.
Yeah, I was trying to think of his name.
So, there's your guys coming back. I think it's Steve Avila. I think it's...
Coy McMillan, I'd say, is in the top five.
I
want to say
Coy McMillan. Those two guys are there. And then... I still believe Coker is going to be really good.
Yeah.
So I go with Coker.
So many of those dudes are young.
Oh, yeah.
And just like, they haven't had a chance to prove it yet. So it's like, yeah, Garrett Hayes, Andrew Coker, Altrick Barlow, we both feel like all three of those guys are going to be really good, but it's just like we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So you can't really rank them yet. I'm very comfortable putting Steve Avila at the top. I think then it's like probably like Coy McMillan, Austin Myers. Wes Harris is probably like five. I want to have him in the top five because, yes, he's been injured a lot, but when he has been in there, he's performed well.
John Lands, I think, is playing more now.
Yes, John Lands. Yeah, I would put John Lands at four.
So
that's my five.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I still believe in Coker. I think Hayes will be really good.
Coker's just not there yet.
Not there yet.
Yeah.
So and neither is Hayes, obviously, and I think Barlow's going to be really good, too. So
did Hayes play this year?
I don't believe so.
I don't think he did.
I don't remember if he did or didn't. I'm sure Drip King will tell us because he notices all this stuff.
Yes.
All eight commits are set to sign early on the 16th. What are the odds we have more than eight signees on the 16th?
That is a Billy question.
So yeah, I think they're going to get one more. If you look at Home Fraud Blicks, Jeremy's kind of been alluding to a guy or two they're looking at. There's a corner out of Lake Ridge who I was looking at his bio earlier on my phone. I can pull that up again. If I so choose.
So, that's for him to know and you to find out.
Marvin Covington, a cornerback for Mantua Lake Ridge, 5'11", 180, has a top five of TCU, Baylor, Tech, Houston, and Mississippi State.
So well, that guy, seems like a pretty clear choice to me.
Obviously. So that's a guy I think he said he's gonna be committing and signing that day as well. So I think the odds are pretty good there'll be more than eight signees on the 16th.
And how many transfers are we going to be eyeing?
I think a lot. I think that's the Chinese checkers approach, as I've been saying. Over on Hoops Conference wins, he puts it at seven. I'm taking the under.
Oh, man.
I've been saying four all along.
Yeah, I think you got to go under. Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it right now.
No. They can't practice, and they don't have the experience.
I hate it, but I don't see it.
Yeah. Bayou City Frog, how do you think the team will approach the final two games / what can we expect in terms of involvement, participation from players? I think you'll see a lot. I think this is where you could see you're out of conference play, so you're not really competing for your bowl standing anymore. It pretty much comes down to whether or not Oklahoma State beats Baylor this week. I think that sets your bowl fate. Mm-hmm. So I think if Oklahoma State loses that game, I think you've got a shot at going to the Texas Bowl.
Yeah.
I think that keeps that very much alive because then you climb in the fourth. Texas got scared of Kansas and canceled that game, so TCU can't sneak up to number three
Texas
in the conference.
Got scared of Kansas.
So TCU can't sneak up into a third spot in the conference. So I think this is where you see maybe some of those freshmen. You see maybe those offensive linemen that we hinted at maybe getting some playing time. I think you'll see a lot. It depends on Whether or not Merritt makes a decision before the bowl game or whatnot. So I think he plays this weekend, but then...
I feel like Trey Merrick is... I see him as a guy that even... Yeah, even if he is leaving early, I see him as playing the bowl game.
Yeah.
Personally. I mean, not like I know him at all, but just based on what I know of him, you know, he seems like the kind of guy that wouldn't opt out of a bowl game.
What do you think the record would be if the schedule was reversed this year? Start with Louisiana Tech and finish with Iowa State. That's a good question.
That's a very good question.
So let's go the way they're playing right now. But again, you're starting with Louisiana Tech. Maybe you win that one because you weren't playing great to start the year. I still think you pulled that one out due to talent.
Yeah.
You played Oklahoma State, who again started slow, but I still thought they were the best team in the conference.
I don't know. The way we looked early in the season and the way our offensive line was playing. And
I don't think they would have beat Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I think that turns into a loss.
So I think that's 1-1. But again, that's basically replaces Iowa State. Because I think the way they're playing now, they beat Iowa State if they played Iowa State last week.
Yeah, I think you're seeing an improvement of one game. Because I think we still lose to Oklahoma. I think we still lose.
I think the Oklahoma game's closer.
Yeah, it's closer. Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I don't know. Maybe, no. Yeah, we'd lose to West Virginia.
I think you'd lose to West Virginia.
Yeah.
I think you'd probably beat Kansas State.
Yeah, so you lose three games instead of four.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think the one game you switch is really Kansas State.
Oh shoot, I don't know though. If we were playing, I guess we could gut out a game against Iowa State, but they're playing really well right now.
Are they?
I mean,
I guess they are, but like
they're in the Big 12 championship.
But they're squeaky. TCU did this a lot earlier in the year too. They squeaked by some people. I say we squeaked by some people. I don't know if we actually ever did squeak by anybody. They're in the Big 12 title game, but think about it. I mean, they should have lost to TCU that first game.
They really should.
And
have.
Will they beat Oklahoma again after beating them the first time?
I don't think they will. I'm so sad. I wish they would.
I don't think they will either.
I wish they would.
They lost a nail biter to Oklahoma State, and TCU just kind of handled them. They beat Baylor by a touchdown. They beat the pants off of Kansas State. They beat Texas on a last second.
That Kansas State game was shocking.
Yeah, that was shocking. And then they blew out West Virginia. So I don't know. Like I think TCU would be in the conversation with Iowa State if you flip those.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do you even flip, good or bad? Timing of injuries stay the same. You don't have Duggan for the first half of Louisiana Tech. If you don't have Duggan for the first half of Louisiana Tech, maybe that's more like the Iowa State game, but
yeah. But I think if you bring Duggan in the second half, I don't think there's any way we would still lose.
Yeah, based on the above, would that change your view on the season? So if they were instead of 5-4, if they were 6-3,
I mean, I'm
content with the season right now.
Yeah, I'm happy right now.
Yeah, I'm not mad about it. So no, why do we keep wearing these helmets? Was hoping to see the purple with that combo.
Oh, the giant frog! Yeah.
I think it'll look
Bayou
good.
City.
Yeah, I think it'll look good under the lights. So
I like the all black with that helmet under the light. I think it's a good look.
I think it'll be fine.
We wore it against West Virginia last year. I thought it looked good. We didn't win in it, but it looked good.
T Hunt just said he's still in the transfer portal. I mean, we knew this already, I thought.
I mean, is that like... I didn't think you could leave the transfer portal.
Yeah, thank God I'm still here.
Theoretically, you can leave the transfer portal, but I feel like once you've declared, like, I don't want to be here, then you've kind of, like, burned that bridge, you know?
Yeah. The argument... This is Austin Britt at Austin Britt, too. The argument against an 8-team playoff is that it takes meaning from the regular season. How's the season... not meaningless if 99.9% of the teams are out of contention if they lose or just look bad in a game, but the Ohio State would get in with three losses.
You made the point right there.
Yeah.
Because I used to agree with that sentiment that like, oh yeah, well if we do have eight teams, that season doesn't mean anything right now. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything when you finish the season with one loss and you're ranked third going into the last ranking. It doesn't mean anything. It's all about these arbitrary decisions that this stupid committee makes that no one elected, all right? You know, you've heard of no taxation without representation, no playoff selection without representation is my argument, okay? Yes, as it stands, the regular season means nothing. Those of us who love college football just love it because we love it, and we love watching BYU play Coastal Carolina, even though it has absolutely no bearing on the national championship race, regardless of how much it should. So yes, there should be an 8-team playoff. There should be automatic qualifiers for conference champions and one non-Power 5 and then one... Yeah, it'd be one non-Power 5 and one
two
at-larges. Yeah. So that's how it should be. That's the only way that you get any semblance of fairness in this super slimy, corrupt system that is entirely created to benefit Ohio State. You cannot change my mind.
Well, I just like that people are just now getting pissed off about it.
Yeah, like, where have y'all been? Where were y'all 6 years ago? Yeah,
some,
you know?
Some of us have been mad about it since 2014.
Yeah, welcome to the freaking party, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you're having a team that's going to be 6-0 make the playoff versus versus teams that are 9-1 or whatever.
Oh my gosh, if there is any cosmic justice in 2020, Northwestern win that freaking game.
You know they're going to lay down like Wisconsin.
I know they will, but I wish they wouldn't.
42-3 or whatever.
Hey, this is my I know there's a lot of Northwestern higher ups that listen to this podcast. This is my appeal to you.
Michael Wilbon's definitely listening right now.
Y'all are an intelligent bunch. Y'all are free thinking, freedom loving individuals. Do not lay down to these tyrants. These usurpers of your conference, be your own man, all right? Win this conference and do it for all of America.
I agree.
Yes.
All right.
Do it for the purple people.
Last set, B-Banks, 21-21, the best in the business at asking questions.
Yeah.
Would you rather beat Louisiana Tech 69-0 and have Mary go pro, or lose 69-0 and have Mary stay next year?
He's a man. He gets it with the questions.
Easy for me. Lose 69.
Yeah. Because you...
My tech ties and you get to keep Merrick for another year. And the fact this game is mostly meaningless.
Well, it's completely meaningless.
Yes, because it doesn't affect your bowl status. It doesn't really
affect anything. You can still end the year with a winning record.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's lose 69-0 and keep Merrick. Yeah, let's do it.
I agree. Would you rather play Kentucky or Tennessee in the Liberty Bowl? Tennessee is a rock... tumbling downhill very fast.
Oh, yeah.
Kentucky's still stuck at the bottom of the hill, I think. So,
yeah.
Either one. I think TCU beats either of those teams.
I feel like beating Tennessee would be more fun. Just because they're another one of those, they're still clinging to that blue blood identity, you know? And then we could say we beat UT twice in the same year.
There you go.
That'd be fun.
Orange UTs, yep.
Yeah.
I would rather play Tennessee, but I'll take a win. I don't care.
Although that's a de facto home game for them in the Liberty Bowl.
Well, what is the fan situation going to be? Doesn't
that's
matter.
True. That's true.
So, who are you rooting for?
I guess
for?
Memphis is pretty close to Kentucky, too.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
It's a 9-hour drive from here. I think it's 5-ish hours from there. It's not like it's a crazy difference.
Yeah.
Who are you rooting for in a Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Ohio State playoff? Anyone but Ohio State.
Yeah. Clemson. I'm rooting for Clemson.
Give me the good old Catholic boy wants to see Notre Dame win.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I don't... I mean, whatever. They're the lovable losers. They're the Cubs right now, man.
No, they're not. They're still arrogant Notre Dame.
They are, but they go to these games every year and they get pounced 57-0 against. I mean, they'll lose to Clemson and they'll still get put in because of the monies.
Yeah.
I mean, the hope is Florida beats Bama, and therefore you have a... The number one team will be Florida, probably, in that case.
Yeah.
And then number two will be Bama, and then number three would be Clemson, and four would be Notre Dame or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be fun to have literally anybody different.
Coastal Carolina, you know, or BYU or Louisiana or whatever.
So throw Iowa State in there. Four freaking teams. So irritating. But, yeah, I mean, Alabama's really good. I feel like I'd root for Clemson simply because ever since that 2009 game, I've really liked Clemson because I had a really good time out there. Everyone was super nice. I feel like there's a high likelihood that the fan base has kind of changed a little bit. They probably have a lot of obnoxious bandwagoners these days, but I like Clemson, you know, and I like Trevor Lawrence a lot. I think he's a good kid, so I would root for Clemson.
Yeah, that's fair.
Even though it's the same stupid teams.
I know. Anyone but Ohio State, frankly.
Yeah. Honestly, I probably won't watch is probably what I'll do.
There you go.
To boycott it.
Boycott. There you go. What's the best musical instrument?
Piano, probably.
I was going to say guitar.
I mean, guitar is... I play guitar. I love guitar. But I feel like piano is a special kind of... first of all, it's super versatile. And it's so beautiful, you know? It's very beautiful. I think piano is a very superior instrument.
How about a nice harp?
Harps are nice.
Harp, like harpelin?
I've always wished I could play piano really well, though, you know? I'm attracted to it. But I've not... Okay. I've never done that.
Fair enough. So. What's the best kind of fish?
Ooh, to eat or to catch? Or to look at?
I guess answer all three.
Okay.
Didn't expect that answer from you.
Yeah. Best fish to eat. Oh, that's difficult.
Do crawfish count?
I'll allow it.
I'll say crawfish. My favorite.
Do you suck out the brains the whole run, the whole nine yards?
From Louisiana, baby. you gotta get the seasoning out of there.
I think salmon is the best fish to eat.
Salmon is what I would say if crawfish didn't count.
Because you can prepare it so many different ways. It's good cooked. It's good raw. I'm a big fan of poke and sushi. Okay. Salmon is a key ingredient there. So probably salmon to eat. Probably most fun to catch. I really
Marlins?
Like. Well, I've never fished for them. I'm sure that's true. As far as things I fish for, redfish are a lot of fun. I like fishing for redfish. Cool fish to look at. Fish are very fun. I like aquariums. Seahorses are so cool. Seahorses are fish. I think seahorses are very cool fish. And sharks. Sharks are fun too. There's lots of cool fish. Go to an aquarium. It's very fun.
Just go to an aquarium. Yeah. Just go to an aquarium. What's something you don't know a lot about but would like to know more about? Fish.
Okay. Yeah.
The animal, the band, all of the above. Does learning languages count?
Yeah.
I think, because I would like
How did he phrase it? Something you want to know more about
What's something you don't know a lot about but would like to know more
about? Yeah, I mean, I think languages definitely falls into that category.
If that counts, I'll say languages. If not, then I'll say I don't understand how the stock market works really well.
Oh, wow.
It all means some kind of money, but like, where's the money coming from in the first place? It's backed by somebody,
right?
Who knows what that money means? What do these stocks actually value?
You ask a very deep question.
Well, it's like money. Like money inherently shouldn't have much value, right? It's a piece of paper. It's an agreed value. But
it used to be backed by something, but now actually, I watched a very interesting video about this that I'll have to send you. It was literally all about the history of paper currency and how it evolved from banknotes that you could literally take to a bank and cash in for quote unquote real money to then like we agree that this is just as good as money, and then it's like, okay, this money's backed by gold, and now it's like, okay, all other dollars are backed by the US dollar because they're the most powerful economy. It was very interesting and actually very enlightening on the subject. I love learning things. I'm always watching videos about stuff. I've been watching a lot of history videos lately, like about ancient history that I've been very interested in. But yeah, I'm all about gathering the knowledge. You know what? I think if I enjoy cooking a lot, I would like to be really good at cooking.
Mm.
You know? Because, like, I watch shows like, you know, you watch your, like, Great British Baking Show and your Sugar Rush and, you know, Iron Chef and all these things.
On Netflix,
yeah. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, I like cooking. Like, I can cook from a recipe, but I would like to be able to just be like, oh, yes, and I'll just throw some paprika in there, and shabam, and now it's amazing. You know, like, that would be very interesting.
I've watched a lot of cooking videos during this quarantine time or whatever. I like to think I've gotten pretty good at cooking. So
yeah.
I can make the heck out of some salmon if you're
okay.
If you're so inclined to. But yeah, that'll do it from us today. Again, don't turn it off now because you're hearing music. Because coming up in a couple seconds, ideally, there's Lee Nalen talking about Desmond Bane, talking about he's got basketball camps coming up. So we'll get into it. Me and him will cut the breeze or whatever that saying is.
Cut the breeze?
And
cut
then,
the cheese?
Yeah, there you go. And then
shoot the breeze.
Shoot the breeze. Cutting something else. Like, we're cutting Clint out of this show for the rest of it, apparently.
Yikes. Sadly.
Yeah, my bad. But Clint, promote your YouTube channel or whatever.
Check out TCU fans videos on YouTube, and my channel is just my name, Clint Foster. You should be able to find it pretty easily now. I've posted enough videos. I feel like I have more than the other Clint Foster. You can follow me on Twitter at Clint_Foster55, on Instagram at TheClintFoster, and know that I love you.
There you go. And I'm at Billy Wessels, and go check out Horned Frog Blitz. Again, we're just a few days from National Signing Day, weirdly enough, because it doesn't feel
like
it, right?
That?
Right. So it'll be a lot of good stuff coming down the pike there. I think they got some promos and everything else that'll be live next week as far as like getting free gear and with your memberships to that website as well. So yeah, check that out, and we'll talk to you guys next week.